Hallelujah. We serve a good God, don't we? Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning that's fitting. We serve an awesome God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's cold on the inside, outside, but it's warm on the inside. And it feels good to be in the presence of Almighty God. Amen? Are you glad to be here this morning? Welcome every one of you to Harvest Time. Good to see my friend Brother LaFrance in the back. He's been working a lot of hours, been praying for him. Glad that God has protected him in his travels and work as all of you. Amen? We serve a good God. If you'd like to stand this morning, I have one point. I'm losing my keyboard players. They're all going to hear Brother Baggett preach to the kids. That's fitting. They have kids up there. And I'm telling you, the power of God this last Tuesday night fell up there, and we had children speaking in tongues and praying and repenting of their sins and asking God to wash them and cleanse them. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful what has happened. The children that normally haven't been touched are being touched, and parents are seeing and realizing, hey, something's different about this kid that I have here, and something's going on. And you know, maybe they haven't gone all the way yet, but their spirit has been stirred. And their heart is being stirred. And that's all you can ask for, is that they would feel the presence, just to feel the presence of God. What an honor. What an honor. Amen. But I have one point. Won't be long today. I did a devotion. Sister Gia had me come to a devotion at Covenant Grace School in Lake Charles past Wednesday. And as I was preparing for that, God began to deal with my heart. You can stand for a little while. You know, you're going to be sitting for a little while too. But God began to deal with my heart about what do I say to these children? Because I'm not allowed to go back into one God or Holy Ghost or things that are the foundation of who I am. You know, so you have to find a way to be able to minister to these kids, but yet not be offensive to anybody else who, because there's several churches that are come together and good people. And I was so honored to be able to speak there. But God began to deal with my heart. And as I was preparing for today, I kept dreaming about this lesson, and I kept thinking about, you know, this really is something, and we need to all be aware of it. And so I want to share it with you today very briefly. 1 Samuel 16, chapter 11. And Brother Valentine almost got all over my message this morning. Thank you very much. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Aren't you glad you're standing this morning? Doesn't it feel good? Just, oh, you're able to stand this morning. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, O Lord. Guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in your will. I give you praise in advance for every person here today. Anoint Brother Baggett upstairs. Anoint me downstairs. Anoint all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. We serve a good God. You know, Brother Valentine mentioned something about the anointing of the oil. And how would y'all like to see somebody really be it? Brother Valentine. I'm changing. I know you would. I know you would. But they literally would take the horn of oil and this ointment, and they would pour it from the top, and it would drench down the entire body, and your clothes got anointed, and your face got anointed, and your everything on you got anointed, and it would begin to roll down. And my prayer is that God's anointing would begin to roll down into our lives and things that we face and situations, and instead of getting angry or mad or frustrated, that we would just
just let God begin to work on our behalf and just turn it over to Him, because we are anointed and covered, and hopefully we're all full of the Holy Ghost. And if you're not, you can receive it today just like they can upstairs. And that holy anointing to work on your behalf. And what I want you to notice about this story, one of the first stories that I really... as a child, fell in love with the Bible because of this story, the Samuels and the kings and the stories of how Saul was chosen. And then here comes David, and he's just a boy. He's just a little boy. He's been out in the backside of the desert, backside of a mountain somewhere, taking care of daddy's sheep, taking care of his chores and his responsibilities, taking care of things that some of the other brothers didn't want to have to do. It was important, but it was safe for the youngest, for the little boy. So that tells me that, okay, pretty much you can do it. You're a little child. You're young. But he had favor with God. And the whole story of this child as he's coming up and what he does, not in the spotlight. Oh, we hear about him as the king, the great King David, the man after God's own heart, the great conqueror, the great ruler, the great fighter. But when he was just a little boy, before anybody saw any of that, he's on the backside of a mountain taking care of his father's sheep. What is he doing? He's preparing himself for his future. He's making himself better. And you know, a lot of times during this time of season, we're thinking about, well, what would they like for Christmas, or what can I do for them? Or and you want to give your best, the best that you can, and that's what this little boy did. He gave his best. He gave his best, and he prepared on the backside of the mountain with no applause of a crowd, no eyes watching him except for those of the sheep. Oh, we like sheep have all gone astray. So these little sheep are watching him, and he's perfecting. He's playing the harp, and he's perfecting his relationship and communication with God. And obviously he had a relationship with God, because on one occasion here comes this big bear, and he rips him in half, and a lion, he rips him in half, and he kills him and protects the sheep. So the preparation to be his best was not in front of everybody. It was in his private closet, so to speak, like Brother Valentine talked about this morning. And what's done in secret, God will reward openly. Amen. And we've got to give our best. Who wants to give their best this year for, you know, not just for holidays, but for God, for relationship with God, for communication with God? And we see that all these other sons, they come before the prophet, and no, he's not good enough, and no, that's not him, and yeah, that's your oldest. No, that's not the one that's going to be anointed. This is not the reason God sent me. But do you have another? Jesse, do you have any more children? Well, there is my youngest. He's out tending the sheep. Well, go send for him. We're going to stand here. Why are you sitting? We're going to stand here. Don't sit down. We're going to stand here and wait for him to get here. And when he gets here, we're going to see. And when David walks up on the scene, the prophet says, oh, this is he. And he anoints him. And the Spirit of the Lord comes over David from that day forward. It had come in spurts before, but now from that day forward, he was covered by God's anointing, by God's blessing, by God's provision, by God's protection. He was rewarded openly for the preparation he did and secret. Then you go on down to 1 Samuel 17 and verse 10, and here we pick up the story of the children of Israel have gone to war with the Philistine nation, and there is this conqueror, this great man, and everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. And this great man, beast of a man, big man, you think I'm big, you should have seen him, he would make me look like a midget. Yeah. And he comes out, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And the Bible says when Saul and all of Israel heard those words, verse 11, of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. One man, one voice spoke into a whole nation, into a king, and put fear and doubt. They were scared. They were scared. They went and hid. They stayed in their tents. And they're hiding because of this one man's words. And David was a young man. And David, he was the son of Jesse. And Jesse had 8 sons. And the man, he was a man among men. He was an older man at this time. Jesse was. So he sends his eldest 3 sons to fight with King Saul. And he gets to wondering about how are my eldest 3 sons doing in this battle. And he sends David, his youngest, to check on his older brothers. And we see that when David arrives with the bread and the cheeses and to deliver to his brothers are hiding and fearful and afraid of what's going on out on the battlefield. And David was the youngest of the children, and he went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. So he had gone back to feed his sheep, and his father now has sent him to the king and to his sons and his brothers to check on them about this battle and what is happening. Now he's been anointed by God, not the other ones, but him. And the Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, the Bible says, army against army. They were toe-to-toe. They were camped out face to face. We know where you're at. You know where we're at. And here's our champion. And he's going to challenge you. And he's going to just lay it out on the line for you. Hey, you want to fight? Bring it on. Bring it on. Could I ask you this morning, has there ever been situations or times in your life when you felt like you're just toe-to-toe with everybody else? And the devil steps up and says, hey, you want to fight? Bring it on. Hey, we're human. We're flesh. We make mistakes. We fail. We fall. We have things that we deal with, all of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the devil will challenge you. Well, you know you did wrong in this situation, and how can you call yourself a Christian? Well, you know, I heard that little word you said the other day when you smashed your thumb. And he begins to make you question your relationship with God. He begins to make you have doubt. But you see, you've been anointed by God. You've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb that was shed on cross for you on Calvary. And you're an overcomer by that blood and by the word of your testimony. So you can step back out on the battlefield and say, hey, wait a minute, devil. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, I've made mistakes in my past. But I'm here to tell you, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best. And I'm going to pick myself back up. And I'm going to give my best to God this very moment. And you start walking again in faith and victory and life in commitment. Why? Because we want to give our best. And David said, who is this Philistine? Who is this man? How dare he defy the armies of the living God? What's going on here? Why are you all hiding? Why are you all afraid? And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man? Verse 26. What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He had authority. He began to speak with authority. Why? Because he knew who his God was. Hello, do you know who your God is? I hope you do. His name is Jesus. and you can make it. You don't have to fall in fear. You don't have to fall in doubt. You don't have to fall in wanting anymore. You can rest assured that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. You can rest assured that Jesus Christ will step up and show out on your behalf when you simply call His name. So his eldest brother, he gets mad at David. The scripture says in verse 28, when he heard, when he spake unto the men what David had said, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? You're not good enough. Just go back to your sheep, brother. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Ladies and gentlemen, my challenge to you this Christmas season, let's give our best. Let's do our best. Not just in giving of gifts or sharing of foods or story, but in living for God. In giving our best praise, our best worship, our pure praise, our pure worship. We've got to give our best. It's not just about getting. "Well, I got this from so-and-so. Look how neat this is. Thank you very much." But it's more about, what can I give? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I." Have you heard that? There's several people throughout the Bible who gave not only their best, but their all. Their all. Everything. The little woman came, and all the CPAs and auditors saying, "Man, what's she giving? That's nothing." But it was her everything. It was her all. It was total worship and praise and submission and sacrifice to God. There was another lady in the Bible that she came and she broke the ointment over his feet and began to wash his feet with her hair. She gave her best. She gave her all. Story after story throughout the Bible we read. The three Hebrew children, those boys, they took a stand when nobody else would take a stand. They got thrown in the fiery furnace, but there was a fourth man that appeared with him, and they weren't burned and they weren't hurt. And the king looks down and says, "Didn't we just throw three?" But that fourth one, he looks like this. They gave their best. What are we doing this season of giving? I feel like we have the best church in the world. I do. I feel like there is not another church, and I've been to thousands of them across the world. There's not any church I've ever been to that's like this church. Do you know what we need? We need, just like a lighthouse when you're at sea, and they had Pokey Point, that we would have to come around, coming back in from the Ketchumek Bay, coming into Ketchumek Bay from the Gulf of Alaska. And they had a place called Pogie Point and Flat Island. And Flat Island was out here, and the mainland was here. And there was a chute that you had to go through. And the tidal system there would rise and fall every 4 to 6 hours from 16 to 32 feet. That was the tidal change. So we're talking about from where you're sitting, your feet are, to well over this roof right here of water going hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of square miles, being sucked in and sucked out every 4 to 6 hours. And if that light and that beacon wasn't on, and your radar wasn't working, and it was foggy or rainy, which it could change just like that from sunshine to being completely, you're blind. You're driving blind. And you have to go between that island and that mainland. And that water begins to rush through there at just amazing speed. And literally, I have stood on the top of a ship's deck driving a boat. And you look in front of you to the back of the building there, to the back door. And there's another ship in front of you. And the waves are so steep and stacked up that you cannot even see that ship going through that pass. That's how rough it would get. But there was a light. And if you could see that little ping going off on that light on that island, you knew, okay, that's where that point is. And there's a ping, oh, that's where that, I got to head right between that. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. If I could just keep it lined up right there, I'm going to make it. And all this church needs is we need to turn our light on so people can see us. And they can make it through those doors right there. And they can come in and meet the greatest congregation in the entire world. That's you, by the way. Give yourself a hand. And we can give them our best. And they can receive God's best. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So here this young boy is. I'm really just talking today. I'm sorry. I know it's not deep. I know it's not some theological something you're going to go home and just tear your Bible apart. But it just touched my heart this week. And watching those children on Wednesday, it just really did something for me. I want to give my best. I want to do my best. I don't want to settle for mediocrity. I don't want to just go along with status quo. And, well, you know, this is what they did. So it's if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. No, I want to do better. I want to be better than my father was. I love my father and he's gone. And my mom and sister are here. I love them. I don't want to be just what my dad was. I want to be better than. And when I have children, I want them to be better than me. Hopefully they've learned something from all the dumb mistakes I've made. And they can be better, right? Every parent wishes that. You don't want to push your child down. You want to lift them up. Hey, you can make it. You can live for God. You can give your best. And your best is good enough. Your best might not be my best, but your best is your best. So give your best. So this little boy in our text, he comes up and hears all the army of Israel. What you doing? Oh, they got a champion. He comes out every morning. You'll hear him just a little bit. Send me out a man to fight. That did something to David. Something rose up inside of him. Was it because he was a boy on the battlefield wanting to show off? No. It's because he had been somewhere in secret with the Lord Almighty. He knew who his God was. He knew God had already prepared him. He had already killed a bear with his hands, a lion with his hands. The Bible goes on to tell, if you read the story, King Saul heard what David had been talking to the men, and he sent for him. Hey, buddy, what's going on? Hey, who is this Philistine to defy our God? I'll go out and fight him. Saul puts his armor on him. You've read the story. Here, you take my sword. You take my shield. You take my spear. And David says, I haven't proven these.